I have often wondered if some first century Christians might be surprised if they knew that today we were still talking about and waiting for the second coming of Christ. It seems that a lot of what is said in the New Testament is said in a way that anticipated that return to be very soon. In fact, the language is, I am coming soon. So naturally they would have assumed that soon meant soon in the way they understood it. Tomorrow, the next day, pretty quickly. Jesus and others had a lot to say about being ready for his return. It's very interesting to me that even though in a time when a lot of the Christian world has set aside to think about his first coming, namely Christmas, we don't necessarily recognize that as a holiday or a holy day that needs to be celebrated. But it certainly does provide a ready application, does it not, for thinking about his coming. You know, the whole notion of Christ is going to come, the whole notion that he came and that he's coming back again is sort of brought to mind as we think about the very first coming, his birth. God sending his son to die for us. Readiness to meet God has always been a prominent watchword among God's people. Let's take a look at a couple of passages where we find that. Readiness, we'll call it, in salvation history. Number one is Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, I won't assume that you're going to be able to get to Amos quickly, so if you prefer not to, that's okay. But I'm going to read for you Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Perhaps a well-known phrase that we've heard mentioned before. Amos says, therefore thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. You've probably heard that phrase before. Amos's sole job, and it was just sort of like a kind of one-time commissioning for Amos because he wasn't grown up to be a prophet. He wasn't among any sort of professional prophet group that they had back then. But through Amos, God was trying to turn people back to him. Amos is one of the many prophets that God sent. And if you read through the book of Amos, you see some very interesting things. They were still celebrating feast days. They were offering sacrifices. But they were apparently fairly empty in their content. Their morals had become completely corrupt. They were abusing people. There was no righteousness, there was no justice. And there's even one passage where it seems they are longing for the day of the Lord. They're longing for God to come in judgment. And Amos says, you guys better not wait for that one, because for you it's not going to be light like you think it is. It's going to be a day of darkness. It's going to be a day that God comes to you in judgment. And he's going to bring his judgment against you because of the way you're behaving. Now, admittedly, I'm paraphrasing a bit of what Amos said, but that's essentially his message. God came to them in judgment against their sins. And there were many in that day. Another passage where we see this idea of God's coming is found in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Malachi is fairly easy to find. If you turn to the New Testament, Matthew, and then just take a left by a couple of pages, you'll find the book of Malachi. It's the very last book of the Old Testament. Here's what Malachi says. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Indeed, the prophet is speaking about the messenger of God, but the messenger of God is sort of a forerunner to God's coming. Malachi speaks of his appearing, of the day of his coming, and he's saying when he comes, he's going to purify everything. Who can stand when he appears? The prophet says. His coming will be marked by judgment. And there's an implied message here, is there not? Be prepared for when he comes. Be prepared to be cleansed of your sins when he comes. Be prepared to be honest about who you are and what you've done. when he comes. And of course, it is very likely that Malachi is referring to John the Baptist, and so we turn next to the book of Matthew chapter 3 and realize that John the Baptist's message was also about God's coming. It is said of John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. God is coming. Get ready for his coming. We know that many expected something to happen because Luke tells us in Luke chapter 3 and verse 15 that they expected it. And said, as the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all. And John goes on to say, I'm not the Christ, but there is one who is coming. So you have to prepare yourself. For them, it was an immediate coming. They knew when he came, or at least some people accepted when he came. We know it was the sinners, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. Those people recognized the coming of God, his presence. At this point, however, expectation had reached a kind of fever pitch. The way they got ready, they repented. They changed. They were ready for when he came by getting their souls right with him. Matthew, in Matthew chapter 24, speaks of readiness, but he speaks of it in terms of the hour of his coming, and that's often what gets us confused. We want to know the hour. In fact, you know, maybe we want it down to the hour. Most of us would take just if we knew the day, the year, you know, and then we could appropriately, at least we think, to be prepared. But Jesus warns us here, no one knows the day or the hour. God hasn't given us that kind of specific. He hasn't told us exactly what is the date, what is the time that Jesus is going to come. In fact, what Jesus tells his audience here in verse 44 is simply, be ready because you do not know the hour. In fact, it is going to come when you don't expect it. Excuse me. It's very interesting to me that readiness may be most important at moments of low alert, shall we call it. A time when you're sort of sleepy, a time when, you know, you're not expecting any bad thing to happen, things are in a lull, things are just going along the way they're supposed to be. Isn't it interesting that how when, for example, look at what happens whenever we get hit with some sort of terrorist attack. What do? Suddenly we're back on high alert. Well, by then, maybe it's too late to be on high alert. We've let our guard down by then, and all of a sudden something happens. And go, oh, okay, I guess we better be alert again. Well, if we've been alert, like we have in some cases, we've caught some of those things. We've got them before they actually happened. The one in Times Square last year, or whenever it was, you know, people saw what was going on. They were alert enough at the time to catch it before it happened. That's the way Christians ought to be. It's kind of like there's no time when we're not on high alert, when we're not at least ready. And that doesn't necessarily mean we have to, you know, be at all this fever pitch all the time, but we do have to be alert. We have to be aware of what's going on in our lives and the fact that Jesus is sort of always on the verge of coming. Listen to how the Apostle Paul says it after the time that Jesus has come. Here we're talking about in Matthew, Jesus has come, but he hasn't yet fulfilled his full ministry. And it's not until he gets to the cross that that actually happens. After the cross, after the gospel has been established, after the church has been established, Paul has some words very similar, eerily similar, I think, in some ways about readiness that he says in our passage that we read in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Paul says, wake up from your sleep. Be alert and focused. Now, I know some of us, when we first wake up, we're not quite as alert as we'd like to be later on. You know, you have to kind of slap yourself around, put some cold water in your face, get a shower, whatever you got to do. But wake up, be alert, be ready for the day. Paul says salvation is even nearer now than it was when we first started. Paul knows, as we know, that the kingdom is here. The next step is close. Every day it gets closer. The problem we have is we don't know how close, but we know it's closer. We know as time moves on, it gets closer and closer and closer. No matter how far away it is, it's still getting closer with the passing of every moment. And he will say, because it's nearer and nearer and nearer, that's the time to behave yourselves. And he gets pretty specific here, doesn't he? You can look at all the different sins and things that he says. You avoid those things. You stay away from those things because Christ is coming. It's nearer now than it was when we first started. And I always love the passage in Revelation chapter 22, verses 7, 12, and 20. Essentially, he says the same thing. Behold, I am coming soon. Boy, I wish he'd define that a little better. But you know, maybe it's better that he doesn't. Because if we knew when, we go, okay, I'll go up until that day and I won't worry about what I'm doing or how I'm behaving. I'm just going to go ahead and do what I want to do. And then, oh, well, he's coming tomorrow. Okay, well, I'll get ready for him tomorrow. That's probably what we would do. That's the way our minds work, I think. Christ is coming soon. And he says the same thing in verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. And again in verse 20, surely I am coming soon. He's going to come. And it's soon. That's why I question, you know, if we took some Christians from the first century and brought them forward 2,000 years to today, would they ask us, has he been here yet? We'd have to say, no, he hasn't been here. He hasn't been back yet. Well, we thought he was coming soon. They said, well, yeah, he still is coming soon. Soon in God's definition of soon is not necessarily our definition of soon. Because God has a totally different picture of time, of calendars, of days. He doesn't see it the same way we do. It's always soon. What we understand from the book of Revelation is, as we understand it from really the whole New Testament text, is that he has destroyed evil and he has already conquered worldly kingdoms. It is in progress. It is in the process of continuing that move forward. The conquering of worldly kingdoms, conquering of evil. We don't always see how it's working, but it's working usually in individual lives, in individual hearts. As hearts are changed, as lives are changed to do something different, to live in a different way, to make their lives more consistent with the Word of God, and in the long run, better for themselves and for those around them. But we are always, and should always be, more aware of the presence and approach of the final consummation. It's on the way. We have that assurance. As James chapter 5 and verse 9 insists, the judge is at the door. Somebody at your door is somebody you need to go open the door for. And that's the idea. How can we not always be ready if he's standing at the very door of our lives? Readiness is something that is always appropriate. It really kind of gives us a new sense of the time we live in. Christ's coming has already made a difference, irrespective of clocks and calendars. You know, those things, we're bound by those things. We live by those things. There's a certain rhythm in our lives because of those things. We have a 7-day work week. You know, God has really even set it up that way, that we have this sort of rhythm in our lives. You know, things happen on a yearly basis. Things happen on a weekly basis. Things happen on a daily basis. There's a certain rhythm, and we get into that pattern. What we have to realize is God has worked within that pattern to tell us something a little different about the fact that he is working, that his kingdom is here now. The conflict between light and darkness has been highlighted by his coming. And that's the part we need to be aware of. That's the part we need to think of. It is time for us to choose sides. And if there's any time that's involved here, that's what it means. Now is the time. Choose sides. You're either on the side of good or you're on the side of evil. You can't be in between. You have to be one or the other. Repentance is one of those things that mark the observance of his coming. It always had been, hadn't it? Back in Amos, in Malachi, in John the Baptist, even Jesus, just the first things out of his mouth are, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. It always marks the observance of God's coming. And that's because of who we are and the situation we're in, that we are, in fact, sinners. God is always coming, He's here, but he's coming. He's here, but he says, you know what? I'm giving you a chance. There's going to be this gap, certainly in each of our lives, between the time that you recognize his coming and the time that he actually comes for you. Listen to the words of 2 Peter chapter 3, 11 through 14, as he discusses his coming to the church. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found in him, without spot or blemish, and at peace. Alertness. Joy, anticipation, and peace also mark the observance of Christ's coming. It is those things we experience as we recognize the need to be alert. And so my encouragement this morning is numerous, several fold, shall we say. First of all, let us be filled with joy and peace, for he comes soon. Getting ready is only as good as staying ready. It's kind of easy to get ready, isn't it? You know, you get ready for the trip, put everything together, kind of you're ready to go, and at some point you got to go. At some point you have to kind of act, you have to do. But you also have to stay ready. You can't let your guard down. And I know there's times in our lives when we're sort of relaxed and we sort of, you know, we need that relaxation. I think that's why God's given us, you know, 7 days and at least one day in here. We should at least be stopping, thinking about him and just taking it easy. But we're still alert as we do that. It's a part of staying alert, perhaps. But the fact is, readiness is not passive. Readiness is active. Readiness is preparation that's always prepared, shall we say. And though we are uncertain of the time of his coming, we know that we need to do, we know what we need to do in order to prepare. Faithfulness to the gospel and the commands of God is readiness. Obedience to the gospel is readiness. And so if you haven't ever obeyed the gospel of Christ, that's the first step in getting ready for his coming. You need to believe it. You need to respond in faith to it. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you need to live faithfully for the gospel. That's what it is. Faithfulness to the gospel, faithfulness to God, living with his commands, living for his commands, and in obedience to his commands. I urge every one of you to make every effort to be found faithful, that all of you, if you have responded to it first or have not, we encourage you to do so. But you want to hear these words at the end of your life when you get into the next world. You want to hear God say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's stand and sing our song of encouragement.